The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Nobel Prize winner Muhammad Yunus says he is ready to head an interim government in Bangladesh. Now, that follows a vote from student protesters after weeks of mass demonstrations that killed hundreds and forced longtime ruler Sheikh Hasina to resign and flee the country. In a statement, Yunus said, "If action is needed in Bangladesh, for my country and for the courage of my people, I will take it. It's been a transformative few weeks in that country, but despite the promise of free elections in 6 months' time, it doesn't necessarily mean good news for Bangladeshis." I'm joined on the line by from India by journalist and Irish Times contributor Rahul Bedi. Rahul, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you might explain to us how things became so chaotic, because looking at the recent history of Bangladesh, it was an economic basket case, and then the government, which was headed by Sheikh Hasina, who's now fled, actually transformed the economy more than somewhat.
Yes, it did. Between the years of 2010 and 2022, in fact, Bangladesh became the workshop of the world for ready-made garments. All the leading brands in, that you buy on the high street in London or in Dublin came from Bangladesh. But then the pandemic struck, and that reduced Bangladesh. In fact, the levels of unemployment went up to almost 20%, and about 30 million youths were rendered jobless. And this led to widespread agitations, and these were exacerbated by affirmative action policies of Sheikh Hasina that reserved jobs mainly for her own party and the children of her party members, which again led to the violence you referred to, and about 400 people died, forcing her to flee.
Now, the division of the jobs under the scheme, 1% for physically challenged people, 5% for minorities, a 10% quota for women, a 10% quota for backward districts, 44% based on merit, which is not quite half, 30% quota for freedom fighters' children and grandchildren. So that was where the problem arose.
Yes, actually, that's where the problem arose, because all this really totals up to about 56% of jobs which are reserved for various categories. But the one that caused the maximum amount of problem was 30% reservation for children and grandchildren of people who had fought for Bangladesh's independence from Pakistan in 1971. And even though the High Court went back on that order, just a few days before Sheikh Hasina fled and reduced that 30% to 5%, it was a bit too late, because the students had already mobilized themselves. And from an agitation that demanded employment, it became an agitation that demanded Sheikh Hasina's removal from office. And then finally, the last straw really that led to her leaving was the army refused to fire on civilian protesters. And they told Sheikh Hasina that they were unwilling to do so, and they suggested that she leave. Otherwise, there would be untold bloodshed, and she did.
Now, Sheikh Hasina herself is descended from a revolutionary family.
Yes, actually, the history of Bangladesh is very tempestuous and very turbulent. A lot of people know that Bangladesh, before it became Bangladesh, was East Pakistan. This was created in 1947 by the colonial government. There was West Pakistan, which is now Pakistan, and then there was East Pakistan, which is now Bangladesh. But it split from West Pakistan for a variety of political and ethnic reasons. And it led to a crackdown by the Pakistan army, in which about 3 million people were killed and about 10 million were displaced, most of them to India. So the birth of Bangladesh was very bloody. And Sheikh Hasina's father was really the main man who got independence for Bangladesh. But he himself was assassinated in August of 1975, along with almost all his family. But Sheikh Hasina escaped, because she was in Germany at that time. She was a young woman of about 27 or 28. And then she sought shelter in India for several years before she went back to become the Prime Minister for the first time in 1986. And then she was Prime Minister till 2001. And then she had three back-to-back terms from 2009 to 2024. But her entire 15 years in office were marred by repression. It became a one-party police state. There were extrajudicial killings. There were enforced disappearances. There was a crackdown on the opposition and the press. A lot of people were basically executed by the state. And this led to a lot of resentment. And also the structure of the party from being a party of middle-class intellectuals, professors, activists, it became a party of oligarchs who had become rich in, under Sheikh Hasina. So the whole character of the government had changed, and she'd become really a very oppressive and autocratic ruler.
Well, now, the future for Bangladesh, what will fill the political vacuum if her party is discredited along with her now that she has left? What will take its place? Because there's talk of parties with views maybe akin to Islamic State being involved.
Well, there are two parties that are likely to come to power. One is the Bangladesh Nationalist Party, which is called the BNP, which is led by also another lady, Khalida Zia. And then there is the Jamaat-e-Islami, which is a very right-wing Islamist group, which has antecedents in erstwhile East Pakistan or Pakistan now. So about 35% of the vote in Bangladesh was with Sheikh Hasina's party. 35% of the vote is with the BNP, the Bangladesh Nationalist Party. And the remaining 30% is with the Jamaat-e-Islami. So the Jamaat-e-Islami and the BNP are likely to form some kind of a coalition, which would clearly be a right-wing Islamist coalition, which is not very healthy for Bangladesh. And it is something that Sheikh Hasina in her initial years had very successfully combated. These people had slowly gained credence because of Sheikh Hasina's authoritarianism. And they were the ones who were also supporting the students' movement over the last few weeks.
Now, the question of Nobel Prize winner Muhammad Yunus, who was awarded his prize for his work on microbanking, the Grameen Bank, so-called, what role might he play in all of this?
Well, he's a highly respected person. He's known as a banker to the poor. And in fact, Sheikh Hasina spent many years, because she felt that he was a rival. So she spent many years trying to discredit him. And finally, he faced something like 200 charges of corruption and bribery and whatnot. And he was even jailed for a short period. So he is a highly respected person in Bangladesh. And he is expected to head a 15 or a 20-member interim government, which is going to comprise retired bureaucrats, activists, students, maybe some military people, retired military people. And they are expected to hold forth till elections are announced. The Bangladesh Nationalist Party wants election in 90 days, in 3 months. But that just may not be possible given the levels of violence and unrest in Bangladesh. So it really remains to be seen how successful they are likely to be. Muhammad Yunus is likely to be sworn in later today, in fact. He just arrived from Paris, where he was undergoing medical treatment. Mm. Now, so it remains to be seen how successful he'll be.
Yeah, and he's quite an old man now, so he's not going to be a long-term leader for Bangladesh. Just a final question, Rahud. It's not I suppose I could Google this and find out, but I'm just wondering what the population of Bangladesh is, because it's far away from us. We know little about it.
Bangladesh has a population of 171 million.
My goodness.
And currently, the official figures, World Bank figures, are that about 30 million people are jobless. It also has a Hindu minority population of 13 million, who comprise 8% of the population, And in fact, this population of the population of Hindus has been under attack for the last two or three days after Sheikh Hasina left. And there's been widespread violence in which Hindu temples have been burnt. And a lot of other Sheikh Hasina's party members have been attacked and killed. And in fact, one five-star hotel in one of the big towns of Bangladesh was also set on fire, and about five or six people were burnt alive in it. So there's a fair amount of violence, but because the police has gone on strike, the police have more or less fled. And the army refuses to open fire on protesters. So the students are controlling traffic, the students are controlling the violence, and they're perpetuating the violence also.
All right.
It remains to be seen how soon Muhammad Yunus can appeal to them to calm down.
A very troubled country. Rahul Bedi, journalist, Irish Times contributor, thank you very much for joining us on the line.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.